starts from inside. So from your heart and pride and make your light shine brightly, yo, don't hide. You're a work of art, unforgettable and off the charts. Welcome to a podcast dedicated to your mental health. I'm Bailey with the Recording Library of West Texas.
Hi, I'm Christy Edwards. I'm the executive director and a therapist at Centers for Children and Families.
Hi, I'm Melanie Size. I'm the marketing and development director at Centers for Children and Families.
Together, we're bringing you tips and tricks on how to navigate this thing called life. This is Center Solutions. Due to the nature of some of the topics that are discussed, listener discretion is advised.
Continuing our coverage of COVID-19 with our special edition episodes of Center Solutions, today we're going to talk about aging during a pandemic and how that's really affected our seniors. And we've got a special guest on the show today that we're going to talk to in just a few minutes who we've had before, and we're so glad that she's back with us. Mm-hmm. Before we kind of dive into the local stuff going on, let's hear an article that really puts into perspective how COVID-19 has affected our senior population. Melanie, you are the information expert. What do you have for us today?
Well, I always like to find a little something that connects the cause to other parts of, you know, the country, the world, whatever. And so there's an ABC News article titled The Unspoken COVID-19 Toll on the Elderly, Loneliness. Ran April 14th, right alongside Easter this year, which is, you know, about a month ago. Feels like 15 years ago, but I've just taken a little excerpt from that. Mary Thames just turned 94 years old. For years, the tradition has been to celebrate her special day with a festive dinner with her husband, son, and daughter-in-law. It took a pandemic to break the longstanding tradition. This year was the first time we didn't go out and celebrate with the dinner party. That has always been a big treat. Shirley Strauss, 93, lives alone in Brooklyn. While she remains positive, she admits that the last couple of weeks have not been easy. I was able to go out and do certain things, but now I'm stuck in the house and it's like the walls are coming down on me. I'm feeling lonely. Now it's the holiday and I can't see my family, and that upsets me, she said. That kind of gives us a window into what people are experiencing. And I know we've talked about this, but we've had a little taste of what isolation is like, and some of our aging population have experienced that, like, for long term already. Mm-hmm. Which brings us to our wonderful guest, Kathleen Kerwin Haley, Executive Director of Senior Life Midland. Welcome, Kathleen.
Hello. Glad to be here. Thank you.
So Kathleen was with us about a year ago, and we were talking about senior life, and it was a different conversation, right?
It seemed to be quite different. A lot of things have happened since then, and you know, I think a lot of changes have occurred, but, you know, there's still so many challenges associated with aging, and this has really posed, you know, a lot of new ones that we've seen as well, I believe.
Definitely. So you want to give us a brief overview again, just kind of another synopsis of what all senior life does for our community?
Sure. I'll just briefly tell you guys that we do have 7 programs for seniors of Midland. Of course, our biggest one is Meals on Wheels. I think we're most well known for that program. But we also do have several programs for active seniors. And we also oversee 2 senior centers for the city of Midland. And our vision with Senior Life Midland is to improve the quality of life for seniors in Midland County. So, you know, we stay very, very busy with our programs, and, you know, we literally work with just thousands of seniors every year.
Wow. That's quite a lot of clients. So have you seen a client increase?
You know, we have seen a lot of different changes during all of this. We know that at first COVID seemed to be ever-changing and very fluid, and things were changing up every day. now we're kind of getting a little bit used to the new normal. We have added a lot of weekend meals for Meals on Wheels people who really just need more than that noontime meal to get them through this pandemic. So we've added a lot of weekend meals. We've also added a lot of frozen meals. And with that, we have had a lot of seniors in our community that have been identified through referrals, whether it's hospital or home health or the community, you know, that they really need some additional help. You know, it's a challenge. We are a small agency. We, you know, have had challenges with volunteers during this time. So we can't, you know, just add everybody in the world who wants to be on Meals on Wheels. Many are not truly homebound. They are challenged. And so we've worked with them through their challenges of not being able to access grocery store. And how do I call HEB or, you know, I don't really get on the internet. How do I order that food? So we've seen some challenges that are really unique to, you know, what we're going through right now in the world that are new to us and new to a lot of seniors also.
Yeah. Wow. Now, what do you think about what I'm saying? A lot of our elderly folks in our community have already been experiencing isolation, which is something that you all address. So I really believe what we've just recently experienced on a much lower scale, you know, because we see an end in sight. I think there are people in our community that we can really relate to now.
Yes. I think now we're kind of understanding what it means when your world becomes very limited and much smaller. You know, when you are social distancing and you're working from home, all of a sudden, you know, going to the grocery store is a big deal, or you mm-hmm. miss being at work and you miss those friends that you saw every day. And so now we are getting a little glimpse of what these homebound seniors experience every single day. Every day is a crisis for them when they're lonely and, you know, just feeling like they've lost their independence. That's kind of how we're all feeling right now.
Yes, absolutely. So the mental health connection, Christy.
Hi, Christy.
Hey there. You know, I think Kathleen just hit on a lot of that is like, you know, the isolation, the being homebound, you know, having the anxiety of my health is not the greatest or my age is working against me. So I think there comes that innate anxiety of, you know, you want to live, you want to not put yourself in any danger. And I think that that's probably the biggest part of what they're dealing with. While being afraid, they also don't like being isolated. So I think sometimes they can put themselves at risk because they're kind of like, I can't handle the isolation. I'd rather put myself at risk. So I think that sometimes you've got to count on people being able to talk to them and go, yes, we know that this is a problem while you're mom. This is not a time in which you need to be breaking out of, you know, what we normally have you doing and exposing yourself to a lot. But I think they do worry about, you know, how am I going to get food? How am I going to get house toilet paper? One of the saddest stories that I think I've told at the very beginning of all this, I was in Albertsons one day and kind of turned up the bread aisle. And for like the fourth day in a row, there was not bread for me. And this little man that was probably, you know, 90 years old, he comes shuffling up with his basket and he said, this is the third day I've been here. And I can't keep coming back. And I'm like, sir, you stay right there. So I went and chased down somebody that was in the bakery and they got like, you know, some kind of bread. And we took it to him and I said, you know, you can toast this, you can use it for sandwiches. I know it's not like Mrs. Baird's, but will this work? And the lady told him, I promise you that if you come back on Friday, no, actually it was Thursday because that's the day you could go in early. She said, I'm working, you come to the bakery and you will have bread. But, you know, not everybody has somebody that will go and advocate for them. This little guy could have come back every single day and not gotten bread for a very long time. So right. I want to say, just come home with me. My pantry's full. You can have anything you want.
Well, and, you know, even just all of us have experienced some level of food insecurity that we never in a million years would have thought was an issue.
That's true.
I mean, just, you know, going to the stores and all the pasta's gone. There's no eggs or whatever it is that who, I mean, that's not something that we've planned for in our, let's face it, we're spoiled. So if you take individuals that are already struggling or, you know, have a difficult time with transportation and getting around, gosh, I mean, this has really magnified all of that.
Mm-hmm. So, Kathleen, can you kind of take us through a timeline of events from the start of this thing? How was it for you and your staff?
This has been a very, very challenging time for us. What used to be Meals on Wheels running like very, very smooth clockwork, well-oiled machine for many years now had, with COVID-19, become very challenging. And with, you know, all the changes and the recommendations and better processes for health and safety and, you know, us scurrying around and trying to put all these things into effect, literally every day was a whole thing of new challenges for us. And, you know, even when we put really positive changes and improvements together to help us with our process, those had roadblocks and needed to be improved. So, you know, I would say the first 6 weeks was very much a struggle for us just to get the meals prepared every day and delivered. And at the end of the day, you know, we would all look at each other as a very small staff and say, you know what? All of our seniors were fed today. All of them had their safety check today. We did it. We're going to do it tomorrow. We're going to do it the next day. But every day was literally just one day at a time, making sure that our overall objective of feeding our seniors and making sure they're safe was completed and to the best of our abilities. It was very difficult the first 6 weeks.
Wow, that's very powerful, Kathleen. How many meals on average do you guys provide a day, and has that changed during COVID-19?
You know, we generally provide anywhere between 500 and 600 a day. Mm-hmm. You know, it has changed in the fact that we have also added some frozen, mini frozen meals on to additional people that needed our help as well. I will tell you guys that we lost 75% of our volunteer base that we really depended on daily to get the meals out. We also strategically did reduce numbers of those who are in our kitchen helping to prepare meals so that we are safer. And it does take a lot longer. And so, you know, with losing that many volunteers, we really enlisted the help of our small staff even more in delivering. That also went to current volunteers and said, do you have more availability? We also looked at volunteers who haven't been here a while and brought many of them back. Our, you know, underlying important message is that we have to keep our seniors safe. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of people who wanted to volunteer. Well, I didn't know who they were. I didn't have the time or manpower or resources to get a background check back quickly, and we didn't have a lot of time for orientation and training. And so, you know, we want to maintain confidentiality with our seniors and also avoid any type of scams, you know, with people out in the community that we may not know. Of course, you know, most people are very well-meaning, but we need to be sure that our seniors are safe. So that was also a challenge. We've always been very high standards in all of our programs with safety and health standards, especially Meals on Wheels when we're talking about food and preparing food and delivering. So we did reduce those numbers. We also changed our standards where all of our volunteers are not coming in now. We bring our bags with the food out, and it's kind of a grab-and-go, drive-around type thing. So our volunteers are also safe. We also do the temperature check-in like the hospital does, where everybody logs their temperature that's involved in a Meals on Wheels effort each day. Now, if anybody isn't feeling well, we put a policy where, sorry, you can't be here. You do need a doctor's note to return. We've always done the hairnets and the gloves with the food, but now we did add masks. Mm-hmm. We also hand out hand sanitizers to volunteers. So, you you know, they're able to clean their hands in between each stop to deliver food on the go. And now, you know, we give instructions, you know, please don't enter people's homes. Knock loudly, you know, say Meals on Wheels. If you need to open the door, do that. But, you know, we want our volunteers to also be safe. So we've got just a lot of good health and safety measures in place. We always advocate for our seniors. We never leave a meal. So if somebody doesn't enter the door, our volunteers come back and do let us know so we can start calling and checking. We did have a man who had a heart attack one day who didn't answer the door.
Oh, wow.
And we were able to go over there and, you know, realized that he had gone to the hospital with a heart attack. So it's not just delivering that meal. It's a safety check aspect of it. And like Christy was saying earlier, it's advocating, making sure they are okay, that follow through and all of that takes an extreme amount of time. So that on top of all the meals and this longer process has been a challenge. But we're really proud of this staff and the dedicated volunteers and our community partners who really have helped us maintain this program every single day.
That's fantastic, and we sure do appreciate all the work that you guys do because it's such an important program. And quite frankly, aging is for everyone, just like mental health is for everyone. We are all going to experience these issues and challenges. We hope. I mean, we all want to live a long life, so I think it's great for us to have a little bit of perspective and hopefully connection and want to help and want to advocate. And you guys do a really great job of encouraging others and inspiring others. Christy, ways to cope and help our seniors cope.
Oh, sure. And I think this is going to be all of us going forward. It's, you know, it's practicing the physical and the physical distancing, but not socially isolating people. Let's train our seniors in how to use technology for staying connected. And I know that sometimes, you know, there are other things that are going on that they're not going to remember or some of those things. But if they can, let's, you know, even if you have to have an initial outlay of some money, let's get them like an iPhone or something that you can connect FaceTime with.
Okay, I have an interactive photo frame. I don't know if you all have heard of this, but I bought my parents a photo for Christmas, and it's really cool, and it's been especially useful to them now because we can all dial into this photo frame because they don't like social media, and we can send them pictures that we take from far away.
Good idea.
It's awesome. I love it. So if you can Google it, find it on Amazon. I bought mine at Bed Bath & Beyond. But, I mean, there are so many creative ways to stay connected.
Well, we've got to figure out a way. My mom is 85. She loves Facebook. And, you know, every time I'm like, Mom, you don't need to comment or do whatever. You know,
she is Center's biggest fan.
So she is, Melanie. But it's like, she'll send me something that's on Facebook that says, you know, being active on social on Facebook helps seniors live longer. So I'm like, okay, if that's all it's going to take, then I'm all about that. You know, we also need to, you know, and I think Kathleen and you guys probably already do this, but making sure that, you know, our seniors have apps on devices that'll provide captions if they have hearing challenges, things like that. And then we have to reach out to families and say, you know, we've made connection with your loved ones. They really are lonely and we do the best that we can, but we can't replace their family. You guys, you know, every Wednesday night after church or whatever it might be, We take 15 minutes to call and check in on people, you know. And then, you know, bringing back the written letter. Write a letter, send a card. It doesn't have to be a lot. I love the interactive photo frame. If you could wake up someday and see a fresh new picture of, you know, your kids.
My parents love it. They love it. It's their favorite thing. They just love it.
One of the things that's on here, it says find a project to occupy time. I will tell you that whenever I work with older people, I always go, but I say, I want to do a timeline with you. And it doesn't have to be at the beginning. It does not have to be complete. It's like, when were you born? And then I kind of bring them through, you know, 5, 10 years at a time, looking for significant events that occurred in their lives. You know, when did you first go to school? Do you remember your first grade teacher's name? Where did you go to school? Did you move? You know, did you play sports? Did you enroll in any armed forces? When did you get married? You know, things like that. That's important to them. It shows them that their lives have value, continue to have value, and somebody is caring enough to get something put together for them. And you kind of bring it all the way up to the, you know, to here. How many houses did you live in? How many times did you move? How many kids do you have? How many grandkids? Were you married more than once? You know, what were your jobs? What was your favorite job? How many cars did you have? It's endless. And it gets them talking, gets them remembering, and you're not just sitting there going, I'm just sitting in this room. I don't know what to talk to them about. Because if you start the conversation, I can promise you it's going to be interesting.
I love that. You learned so much. I mean, I think we've talked about this too on our other COVID podcasts about how meaningful conversations are happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of a better place to find a meaningful conversation than someone who's had so much time and wisdom to mm-hmm. impart upon us. What a gift for us if we are open to that.
I'm glad y'all brought this point up because, you know, I talk a lot about Meals on Wheels. We also have our 3 senior core programs, which are foster grandparents that are actually usually in the schools. Senior companions are coupled with a client that needs help. The senior companions take them to the grocery store. They can take them to pick up prescriptions. They take them to eat lunch. And then we also have our RSVP program, Retired Senior Volunteers, where they volunteer throughout the community at various stations like the hospital, Wagner Noel, those types of things. All 3 of those programs right now are on hold. So we have very active seniors that are now not active. And this has been very much a challenge for them. So our small staff calls them every single week. And we've also organized several things for them to come out and get grab-and-goes of food. And, you know, we want to check on them and make sure they are doing okay. You know, we can call them every week, but if we can also put eyes on them, you know, and see how they're doing and give them a smile. And that social interaction is so important when you can kind of think of out-of-the-box ways to still deliver that. Mm-hmm. We've been doing the grab-and-go meals at the senior centers. We're very safe. We're making sure the food is prepared safely, and they just drive through. You know, do y'all need anything? Are y'all doing okay? Here's your meal. And it has really made such a difference, even doing it once a week, just to see people or talk to people. And our biggest media message for Senior Life Midland right now is, you know, we do help a lot of seniors and support them in town, but it really is a community effort. And Chris, you talked about, you know, calling your family and having meaningful conversations. We put out the message a lot, check on your neighbors, check on uh-huh. your elderly neighbors. You know, uh-huh. do they need somebody to bring them groceries? Do they just need somebody to say hello? And so I'm glad that y'all brought those things up because it's not just the homebound, you know, that are suffering. It's a lot of the seniors all of a sudden are social distancing and it's new for everybody.
Yeah. And I think once you make contact with someone, whether it's because of all this or whether because you saw them in the front yard, it's hard not to continue caring and making contact. It's
yes,
basically
very much
on. So we just start again.
Absolutely.
Do you guys agree that may be a little bit of silver lining during all of this?
Oh, yes.
A new perspective? Yeah, like, you know, for us, we've been really hesitant to take that leap to start recording books from home, but we were forced to do that, and it turned out great. Like, it's been fantastic. So now that's opened up another door for us to even allow someone like a senior who's at home, they can start maybe interacting with us and recording some things at home too. So there is some positivity behind all of this.
I completely agree. I think we've seen a lot of new opportunities, a lot of new partnerships. And I think that there are a lot of good things that come out of the storm. And I mean, even for you guys, Bailey, I mean, we probably have some wonderful volunteers. I would really love to help, you know, in kind of the new way some of that looks to you guys.
Definitely.
So I see a lot of hope. You know, these have been hard times, but just these kind of new opportunities really have brought a new, just a new, whole new perspective and a lot of hope to our agency.
Absolutely. I feel like it's funny, but through the distance, through our social distance, a lot of connections have been made, a lot of close connections, and a lot of that human connection that we need. So mm-hmm. if we can find beauty in anything, there's certainly beauty in that. Hopefully we can carry that on out in our future.
Yeah, I think that's important. I mean, that is the mental health side. It's also the physical health side. Mm-hmm. Because if you're laying eyes on someone, or someone feels like they can trust you, if they don't feel well or they're concerned, I mean, that's taking care of both.
Right.
Your mental and physical. So it's very important. I think once again, you know, when we started, we talked about, you know, some of our people that are more isolated, whether they're seniors or not, and that they live with this element of anxiety and fear. What we want to, you know, get across to them is to take control of as much as you can. And, you know, one of the things that they can take control of is, you know, their physical health. Instead of just sitting here doing nothing, do I need to check in with my doctor? You know, am I getting enough sleep and rest? You know, am I staying hydrated? Am I eating properly? Am I trying to get up? Am I even going out in my front yard, making a loop around my front yard, or walking outside just to get some fresh air? You know, I know Melanie has talked often about her yoga class that she can now connect to in Fort Worth. So,
yeah,
you know, again, if some of our, you know, some of our homebounds or shut-ins can access anything like that, they can do some exercise, even if you just sit in your chair, you know, and bend over and touch your nose.
YouTube is amazing. YouTube has everything you can imagine. So,
yeah. And then, mm-hmm. you know, once again, it's a healthy diet, as healthy as you can. And, you know, having Meals on Wheels, you guys deliver. They get a healthy dose of, you know, vegetables and some fruits and a good amount of dairy and things like that. So it's that physical side that comes with what you can control that's also important.
Control.
Control, yeah. And then the next thing that we want to do, present to them that they can control, is, you know, making a plan for an emergency. You know, designate an emergency contact to make sure somebody has that information. Have it, your medical emergency information in an easy to access spot. Stock up at the grocery store or have somebody stocked up for you. You know, because being prepared and planning does help ease the anxiety.
Yes, and we talk about that within our, we all have our own things that have made us feel a little sense of control here, whatever it is. For me, mm-hmm. it was buying vitamins and just trying to keep my immunity up initially, you know, and I know everybody else that's kind of, Christy's walking us through and trying to explain the panic buying of the toilet paper, which seemed like such a mystery to me, but, you know, it's a form of control.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So,
Kathleen, I have a question for you. As executive director of Senior Life, how has this affected your mental health personally?
That's a great question. You know, being just, you know, with seniors every day as who we serve, and, you know, seniors being the most vulnerable population pinpointed throughout this whole virus, it's a giant responsibility.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, our mission is really to address the challenges that are related to aging and develop efficient, flexible, compassionate ways to meet the needs of our community. So, you know, during this whole thing, it's meant, you know, working a lot of overtime. It's meant reaching out to city leaders. It means working a lot with the media, because a lot of what our responsibility, if we don't handle something to help our seniors, I want them to have the resources of who can help. And so I'm not going to say it's been insurmountable, because we have met the obstacles, but we've only been able to do this, myself as an executive director, with a very strong team. You know, we've got a wonderful staff. We've got very dedicated volunteers. And, you know, just our community partners that have stepped up to assist. So, you know, there is no way, you know, one or two or three, five people could do this during, you know, a pandemic like this. I have been very encouraged, supported, and blessed by our community. It's been a lot, but, you know, just the human spirit and human kindness shines through every single day.
Yes.
I will tell you the very worst day, one of the worst, I think, during all of this is our, you know, the worst day in oil and gas history.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Chevron here delivering. They deliver Meals on Wheels every day. And they brought me gas cards. And their message was, we're here. You tell us what you need. We're here to help. You know, we're going to be here for these seniors, and we're going to make this happen no matter what's going on. And that brought me a great sense of strength and hope. And we're going to get through this, and we're going to be stronger. And you know, we're going to think of new ways to do things. And we already talked about the opportunities, but, you know, when you see we're all in this together, we really are. You know, I'm really proud of our community working together and keeping each other supported and strong during the hard time.
I am too, and I'm really proud of the fact that we are working on a project together with Senior Life and providing some therapy to some of our seniors. So that's something exciting that we have going forward. But it's an example of, I mean, our podcast is collaborative, but it's been nice to see a lot of that extra effort.
Right.
Throughout our community during this time, and how we are all just kind of, we want everyone to succeed. We want to help each other. And I think that's one of the greatest things about where we live. There really is that West Texas spirit that just is so strong right now. And
Midland strong.
Yes, definitely. It's Permian Basin Texas. Strong.
Yes.
Right. West Texas, Permian Basin, West whatever. Strong. We've got a really great group of sense of community here. So.
Right. Kathleen, what are some things that Senior Life needs right now? What can we do to support you guys?
You know, right now, we are pretty good on volunteers at this time. We do have kind of a log of future volunteers that we're excited. You know, when things calm down a little bit, we get a lot more manpower to train and do background checks and those sorts of things. We are hopeful to see a lot of new volunteers. We're excited about that. I think right now, you know, there are things that come up where we do special projects, and like the grab and go meals that we're doing at the senior center while those centers are closed. We've had community members come forward and say, we want to donate water bottles for grab and go meals for senior center members. Those things are wonderful. So we do have, you know, some special things that come up that we need help with from time to time. And if people want to reach out and say, hey, how can we help? We would love to have that. We will be having a fan drive coming up, and we normally have that at Lowe's Home Improvement. And, you know, we ask people to buy fans, and a large amount of us come out and stand in front of Lowe's. Right now, we're thinking it's going to have to look a little bit different this year. But we know, you know, these seniors either don't have air conditioning. Of course, they're homebound in their home all day, or they can't run the air conditioners because they can't afford it. And so those fans are vital when it gets so hot. So we're looking at doing some sort of a virtual fan drive, and we'll put more information out as we get that plan. But things like that, you know, there will be a lot of new senior needs, but a lot that come around every year, you know, during different seasons. And you know, it's only with community involvement that we're really able to make this difference.
For those interested in maybe donating items, or at least having that discussion with you guys, how can they contact you, Kathleen?
Well, our website's usually the best way. They can look for more information there, and all of our information's on there. They can also call our agency, and it's 432-689-6693. And again, I'm Kathleen Kerwin Haney, and they can call anytime at Senior Life Midland and ask for me. And if, you know, if they have some ideas of how they want to help, you know, if it kind of, you know, works out with our mission and our programs, we're pretty flexible. And oftentimes we can guide people to volunteer opportunities or project or funding opportunities. And, you know, that's really what it's all about, is just meeting those needs, you know, the best way we can. And again, you know, we just wouldn't be able to do it without this community. And just the outpouring during the last 9 weeks has been simply incredible. And we are very, very thankful.
That's really great. Christy, anything to pay attention that you can recommend that our seniors or families of seniors pay attention to that might be a little bit beyond just your average concerns?
Yeah, I mean, I'd always think it's just a good idea to, if you live in the same town and you go by, if you notice anything drastically different, like, you know, if you feel like they've lost weight, or, you know, the food that you left before had not been, you know, touched, or they say that they're sleeping a lot, or things like, you know, things that are drastically different, not just a little bit different. I mean, I think that's a good time just to, you know, kind of press them further and, you know, just say, how are you sleeping? Are you eating? Are you feeling anxious or depressed? You know, maybe give them some, depending on what their, you know, their capability is, give them some, examples of what it might look like. And, you know, and if you're not sure, always can give us a call. We're happy to just talk to you over the phone and, to say, yeah, I think that might be somebody that would be a good candidate for us to talk to. And especially if anybody's talking about, you know, I'm tired of this, you know, I'd rather be dead, or I don't think and you continue doing this kind of that hopeless, helpless kind of thing, don't ignore that. Because a lot of times we'll just say, oh, sure, you've lived to be 95. You can, you know, you can do this too. Don't brush it under the rug. You know, give a call. If you're very concerned, use the 24-hour crisis hotline. And if it's during the day, then give centers a call, and we can talk to you about what we think you should do.
That's great. Christy, I want to say thank you for always dedicating your time to do this podcast with us.
Oh, you're welcome. I love it.
And Kathleen, thank you so much for joining us again on the show. It was so nice to have you back on.
Yes, Kathleen. Thank you.
We are very excited to be included. And, you know, sometimes seniors, especially that are homebound or now social distancing, you know, it's easy for them to be forgotten. So we very much appreciate you inviting us and remembering, you know, this important population here in our community. So I thank you for allowing us to be part of this important podcast.
Wonderful. Thank you. I hope we all take this time to feel like we've had some solidarity with our seniors and recognize what that experience is, and then go out and make some change in how we help others. And thank you for leading the march in that.
Center Solutions is a production of the Recording Library of West Texas. Post-production work is done by Bailey Hennis. Content is provided by Melanie Size and Christy Edwards. Contact Centers for Children and Families at 432-570-1084 or the Recording Library 432-682-2731. Email Melanie with questions you want answered on the show at msize@centerstexas.org. That's msize@centerstex.org. Both nonprofits are on all social media platforms. See you next time.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, the Center Solutions Podcast, followed by the Noon Book Hour at 12.
This is a Recording Library of West Texas community update.
The Texas Size Garage Sale, a fundraiser for Meals on Wheels, will begin October 7th. The garage sale will be presented on 6 days, with 2 sessions each day, 9 to 11 a.m. and noon to 2 p.m., October 9, 10, 13, 15, 20, and 22. Only 100 people will be allowed in during each session to allow for social distancing. All shoppers will be required to wear masks. The garage sale is at 407 East Scarborough Drive.
Of all the interesting places in our country, the American West may just have the most interesting stories.
Following New Mexico's road to statehood from Las Cruces to Santa Fe and the enchanted stops in between.
Recording Library of West Texas volunteer Jack reads articles from Range, American Cowboy, and other publications on the Western Magazine Hour.
Hi, this is Jack with articles from the magazine Sunset, Living in the West.
Book reviews, biographies, travel tips, fiction, topical articles, historical pieces, and more.
Here's an insider's guide to the season's best getaways in the West.
The Western Magazine Hour.
Where did it come from? Western music.
Wednesday mornings at 11 and again Sunday afternoons at 5.
Horseback on the V-Bar Ranch, Wyoming.
On Recording Library of West Texas Radio. Read by listening.
Because our regularly scheduled program was not available at broadcast time, we bring you the following special presentation.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by the Georgia Radio Reading Service, GARS. Hello, I am Herbert Gilmore, and this is Prevention Magazine. I'll be reading articles from the October 2020 issue. The first story is The Mental Health Crisis We Need to Talk About by Lania Floyd. On a humid July morning that was to hit 95 degrees Fahrenheit, Tiffany Hathorne found herself frozen in her front yard. The 35-year-old copywriter from Searcy, Arkansas, wanted to do the right thing, but she hesitated. Lying in the street in front of her house was a ripped-open cardboard box, addressed to a house a few blocks away. It contained nothing but a paper packaging and a receipt for Bath and Body Works, items that were long gone. Someone had likely stolen the contents and dumped the box outside Tiffany's house. I felt like I should return it, she says, but then I got nervous. Anyone might have wondered if the box had traces of coronavirus and thought twice before touching it. And, like any single woman venturing to a strange house, Tiffany considered whom she might tell where she was going. But her biggest worry was one of distracts black women and other people of color in particular. What if the person at the house prejudged her? What if they thought she had stolen the box? What if she ended up like Renisha McBride, a young black woman who was shot through a screen door by a white man in Dearborn Heights, Michigan in 2013? It's believed that a 19-year-old had a car accident and knocked on his door for help. Tiffany took a breath and decided to return the box to its owner, but she first snapped a photo of the address and texted to a friend, "Just in case something happened to me." Like me, being arrested, or going missing, or being shot, or being killed, you know, the usual stuff you worry about when returning an empty box, says Tiffany, who'd had Confederate flags waved at her while at a peaceful Black Lives Matter protest the month before. In the end, Tiffany and the white woman who answered the door chatted about the package, their children, and hobbies they shared before she headed home. But Tiffany was exhausted. It turned out well, but look at all the worrying and fear I had to push through, Tiffany says, who has struggled with anxiety since she was a child, yet wasn't officially diagnosed with clinical anxiety until she broke down crying in her son's doctor's office 10 years ago. But I guarantee you that even in a black person without clinical anxiety would have had at least some of the same situational anxiety I experienced. She's right. While I don't have an anxiety disorder, I am a black woman, and I found myself nodding yes as she described each and every apprehension that ran through her mind. Overwhelmed and undeserved. If the COVID-19 pandemic didn't send you into a spiral, the second shock wave of 2020 probably did. The Black Lives Matter movement that has turned a nearly blinding spotlight on the ugly racial injustice that permeates a country where black women like Breonna Taylor, who was sleeping in her bed in Louisville, Kentucky, and Atiana Jefferson, who was playing video games with her nephew in Fort Worth, Texas, have been mistakenly shot by the police in their own homes. It has also added to the already burdensome emotional load that black women are at care with very few resources for coping. As if the societal stigma surrounding mental illness and the difficulty of finding the right treatment weren't enough of a barrier, black women face additional challenges of getting support, says Angela Neal Barnett, Ph.D., a professor of psychological sciences and the director of the Program for Research on Anxiety Disorders Among African Americans at Kent State University. There are many, but they include issues like a dearth of appropriate providers, financial concerns, and unique stresses black women face that are poorly understood in treatment circles. Black adults in general, and black women in particular, are more likely than white ones to report feeling sad and hopeless some of the time, according to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. But only 30% of black adults who needed mental health care in 2017 received it. The same survey found that 48% of white adults got the care they needed. Not a great number, but better. Another big problem is lack of research in black people's mental health concerns. An oft-quoted study from 2000 shows that African Americans seek treatment are less likely to be offered evidence-based medication, therapy, or psychotherapy. This also highlights another issue, a lack of research. There's a dearth of information, not only on what's happening in the African-American community, but also on what works for African-American community. Siri Alang, Ph.D., chair of the Health Justice Collaborative at Lehigh University, and the author of a recent study on mental health care among black people, points out that most of what we know about evidence-based treatments has been developed by research and experiments on white people, and so it isn't necessarily applicable to African Americans. Here, prevention takes a look at some of the obstacles and how they can be addressed. Cultural competency. Once you've decided to seek out a therapist, finding one you click with can be harder than getting your insurance company to rectify a mistake on a claim. Now imagine how much more difficult that might be if you needed one who deeply understood your background. Unfortunately, the number of African Americans in the mental health profession is low. Only about 4% of psychologists, for example, are black. With the dual pandemics of racism and COVID-19 upon us, black women are overwhelmed, says Neil Barrett. We don't have time to explain to a therapist what it means to be black and female in this country. We don't have the energy to educate our therapists about who we are as black women. That's one of the reasons I started my practice, says cognitive behavioral therapist Tamika Lewis, LCSW, founder of Women of Color Therapy, Inc., which serves the greater Los Angeles area. She notes that she's one of the few black therapists for one of the largest health insurance providers in the region. Ask pointed questions. While licensed therapists in most states are required to demonstrate some level of cultural competency, meaning they know what various communities are facing and can navigate cultural differences between themselves and a client, it can be hard to judge someone's level of expertise off the bat. Rita Walker, Ph.D., author of The Unapologetic Guide to Black Mental Health, suggests asking your potential therapist tough questions. You want to know what percentage of their current and previous clients were black or African American, she advises. You should also come up with a list of three potential therapists you consider working with. That way, if the first person you find doesn't work out, your response won't be to give up, especially if you're already feeling tired, depressed, or anxious. And a good therapist will continue to be open to learning, says Neil Barrett. Cultural competence is a lifetime pursuit, and data tells us we need more of it. Strong black woman syndrome. One thing that keeps many black women from reaching out for help is the belief that we should be able to handle anything on our own. It's been bred into black women that we have been strong all the time, but it's a trap, says Monica Williams, Ph.D., ABPP, a psychologist and Canada Research Chair of Mental Health Disparities at the University of Ottawa. The idea of putting an S on your chest and declaring yourself a superheroine has its upside. Recent research shows that there is a power in strong black woman syndrome that helps black women deal with the racial discrimination we face. But there's a negative impact on our health and well-being as we push ourselves too hard and put others' needs before our own. If you have a machine running all the time, and never turns off. It burns out, explains Williams. Strong black women's syndrome makes us terrible at self-care. Strong black women's syndrome often arises because black women who need support are not offered any. Williams recalls going through a zip line trip last April and being the only black person there. The guys had helped everyone except her secure their harnesses and were preparing to leave, but Williams pointed out that she had been assisted. The attendants weren't trying not to see me, she says. They seemed just as baffled as I was that they'd overlooked me. But black women are often invisible in society. They're considered the least important and are the least protected. How do you get your health care needs met when nobody sees or hears you? Revisit what strength means. Ask for help is wisdom, not weakness. There are so many things in a society we don't have control over, but whether or not we can lean on others and be vulnerable isn't one of them, says Walker. Black women actually have the power to leave strong black women syndrome behind them, she says. We need to remember that if we can overcome the fear of what people will say if we do ask for help, that actually makes us stronger, she says. Fortunately, mainstream media and celebrities are working to destigmatize the discussion of our problems and to encourage black women to ask for help. Jada Pinkett Smith's Red Table Talk on Facebook. Watch has more than 9 million followers. The show stars Pinkett Smith, her mother, and her daughter as they hash out topics like mental illness, divorce, and racism. The show's recently announced spinoff will star Cuban-American pop star Gloria Estefan and her family tackling similar topics. Therapist Joy Harden Bradford's wildly popular Therapy for Black Girls podcast demystifies what happens in therapy and offers practical advice for strengthening mental health. Still, far more outreach needs to take place. Cost of care. Being underinsured is a huge problem for many people. While 86% of black women in America had access to health care last year, levels of coverage vary, particularly among women of reproductive age. Tiffany Hathorne laments that while her plan covers medication for anxiety, it doesn't cover therapy. I wish I had more options, she said. Others don't have insurance at all. Coronavirus has left many people unemployed and without employer-provided coverage and have forced cash-strapped parents to choose between buying insurance for their child and buying it for themselves. Even people lucky enough to have benefits may be asked to pay more as higher charges are passed along to their companies. Think creatively. If you want therapy but can't afford it, experts suggest turning to a university in your area that trains graduate students to be counselors or psychologists. If they have a clinic, it often is free, offers a sliding scale, explains Neil Barrett, who is also the author of Soothe Your Nerves, The Black Woman's Guide to Understanding and Overcoming Anxiety, Panic, and Fear. In most cases, you'll get the state-of-the-art, high-quality care from someone who's being supervised by someone like me. You can also ask for any therapist if they are willing to negotiate a fee you can afford. If you're employed, ask your HR department whether your employee assistance program offers culturally competent options. Racism and societal injustice. The impact of discrimination and living in fear on black women's mental health cannot be overstated and is a huge source of anxiety and stress. Black women see a constant barrage of news and videos of people who look like them and those they love being killed, driving while black, jogging while black, or sleeping while black. We feel our friends and our family who are experiencing racial trauma, even if we're not directly affected. I have a client who lost her father to police brutality. With everything that has happened with the George Floyd, she's dealing with PTSD in a unique way, says Lewis. Williams says the data backs up what the therapists are seeing in their offices. Research shows that the mental health of black people suffers when events like killing an unarmed black man happen. Every black woman I know is so emotionally exhausted seeing what's been going on in America right now, she says. Adding to the stress is well-meaning outreach from white friends who often then center the conversation around their guilt, says Lewis. They're putting black women in a position to educate them and calm their nerves when black women are already unhinged. Put yourself first. You don't have the power to single-handedly stop racism, of course, but you can blunt its impact, says Walker. A spiritual practice like listening to empowering scriptures or repeating strengthening mantras can help you manage tough moments and the situations. People who are more spiritual and also psychologically healthier, says Walker, If something negative happens at 9 a.m. at work, you have two choices. Path A is to be angry, ruminate about it, and get psychologically worked up. Path B is to focus on your grounding phrase that will get you from this moment to the next, like the Lord will fight my battles. Another thing you can do is become an expert in basic self-care, whether that's keeping up a running practice, sleeping under a weighted blanket, taking regular trips to a nail salon, or seeing a therapist. Reframing any potential negative situation you find yourself in, says Neil Barrett, is extremely powerful. Tiffany sees her anxiety as a blessing and a curse, the blessing being that it makes her consider all angles of a situation. You just have to work at not letting your worries and sense of caution get so out of control that you end up not doing the things you want or need to do, she says. Such things could include a major step like accepting an exciting but scary new job or relationship, but also something small like returning an empty package to a stranger's house, she says. Tiffany says she's glad she did it. 5 do-it-yourself ways to improve your mental health. Any woman can bolster her strength to get through trying times. 1. Ease into your day. Even if you start with just 10 minutes of meditation, prayer, or writing in a gratitude journal, you're starting the day at peace and in a positive fashion, says Neil Barrett. 2. Form a sister circle. Whether we're doing one another's hair, playing cards, or listening to music in a living room, Black women have always come together to share their worries. The power of Black women gathering to support and uplift one another is an indigenous form of healing, says Neil Barrett. Also, figure out who's adding drama to your life or draining your energy, suggests Lewis. Then set boundaries to limit the interaction, if any, you have with any such person. Take note of your emotional triggers. Notice what actions, phrases, or situations can put you in a terrible mood or lift you up on a cloud of joy. They're equally important to recognize, says Lewis. Do a quarterly relationship check-in. Is there something you're not getting from your partner? Attention, assistance, affection. What would it look like if you were getting it? Take time to think about this. Starts a conversation, a practice of vulnerability, and a habit of asserting your needs, says Lewis. 5. Get enough rest. Sleep is directly linked to mental health, says Neil Barrett. Be sure you're getting at least 7 to 8 hours a night. Need some support? Mental Health America, MHANational.org, can get you started looking for a provider or support group in your community, as can Health in Her Hue, healthinherhue.com. That article was The Mental Health Crisis We Need to Talk About by Lania Floyd. That concludes today's reading from the October 2020 issue of Prevention Magazine. This has been Herbert Gilmore for the Georgia Radio Reading Service. Thank you for listening to GARS.
This is a recording library of West Texas Community Update.
When it's open, Midland County Public Library, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Curbside pickup at Downtown Branch, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Now on the Noon Book Hour, we turn to our Western collection with Telegraph Days by Larry McMurtry. The narrator is a spunky Nellie Courtright, 22 years old and already wrapping every man in the West around her little finger. When she and her teenage brother Jackson are orphaned, she sweet-talks the local sheriff into hiring Jackson as a deputy while she takes over the vacant job of town telegrapher. When, by pure blind luck, Jackson shoots down the entire Yazzie gang, Nellie is quick to capitalize on his new notoriety by selling reviews to reporters. It seems wherever Nellie is, action is sure to happen. From a love affair with Buffalo Bill to a ringside seat at the OK Corral gunfight, told with charm, humor, and an unparalleled zest for life, Nellie's story is the story of how the West was won. Telegraph Days by Larry McMurtry. Weekdays at noon and 2 a.m. on Recording Library of West.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 70 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 60s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the upper 80s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the upper 60s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Coronavirus updates, weekdays at 1.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 11 a.m.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by the Georgia Radio Reading Service, GARS. Hello, I am Lydia Coppell, bringing you Woman's Day, Woman's World. I'll be reading from the September-October 2020 issue of Woman's Day. First up is Get Stronger, Live Longer. Introducing our all-new Get Healthy Plan designed just for you by Alyssa Jung. This year, we're inviting all of you to become part of a health-boosting celebration that until now has been available to just a select few, the Woman's